Exodus chapter 20. Again, we consider another one of the commandments this time. We're looking at the 8th commandment. There in verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Along with the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill, this is the shortest of the 10 commandments. And in a sense, both those 2 commandments are closely related. Because if we're told thou shalt not kill, well, to kill is to steal. Stealing a man's life. It's taking away a life that doesn't belong to the person who steals it. That, of course, is just one way that the 8th commandment is broken. And, of course, men live today as if this commandment doesn't exist. Thou shalt not steal. Yea, they live as if God, who uttered the words, does not exist. But they will realize one day, those who steal and thieve and pilfer, they will realize one day that there is a God in heaven, and they will pay a heavy penalty for their thieving. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the chapter 24, we read there in the verse 7, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren, that's stealing a person. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, that is, sell him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put away, thou shalt put evil away from among you. And so we can see there that the penalty for thieving is quite severe. And that what we just read in Deuteronomy is just a foreshadowing of that day that all thieves and robbers will stand before the judgment bar of God. And transgressing God's law is sin. And the Word of God declares the wages of sin is death. So we see that thieving and stealing, taking that which does not belong to, taking that which belongs to someone else, is indeed a serious matter. There are those who thieve and steal, and of course they laugh. They laugh at it because they've stolen something and they believe they've gotten away with it. Well, they need to realize that there is a God in heaven, a God before whom they will stand one day. They will stand before God and receive the judgment of God for what they did in their lifetime if they die unrepentant. So as we look at this 8th commandment, let us first of all consider the rejecting of the commandment. God says, thou shalt not steal, but there are those who reject this commandment every day. We know that this commandment is broken and rejected. Someone, somewhere, even today, will break this commandment. Somebody somewhere will steal. Rejecting and breaking this commandment. First of all, we should point out, to break the commandment, first of all, is sin. Whatever form the stealing takes is sin in the eyes of a holy God. We often speak about sin. The Bible has much to say about sin. And the Bible tells us all have sinned. The preacher, in the course of his message, will preach about sin. But what is sin? What do we mean when we talk about sin? Well, we'll let the Bible tell us. We'll let God's Word tell us. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth all the law. Now here it is. For sin is the transgression of the law. That is the law of God. That's what sin is. 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. So now we know what sin is. And what law is John speaking about? Well, he's speaking about God's law. So to transgress or break God's law, that is sin. We have all sinned. We're all sinners, Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have. So that tells us then that everybody who's ever born into the world, they are lawbreakers. They are breakers of God's law. And one of those laws is, thou shalt not steal. So stealing is a sin, because it breaks God's law. And it is something we should always be aware of and be sensitive to. The Bible teaches us that. In all our dealings with men and with God, we should be careful and sensitive. As it were, asking ourselves, what I'm doing, am I being honest in what I'm doing? Paul said to the believers in the church at Corinth, now he's speaking to believers. He's not talking to the ungodly, he's talking to believers, Christians. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now mark the words. Providing things honest in the sight of all men. The word provide. That word provide is a word that means to know. It also means to think beforehand. Just what we've been saying. In our dealings with God and with men, we are to think beforehand. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth, and he told the same thing to the believers at Rome. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Think beforehand, before any action. Paul says, think beforehand and think, what I'm doing, am I being honest? Am I being true? Am I been faithful? We know that the worldly man most certainly does not think beforehand about what he's doing, whether it is good or evil. Years ago, when we were in process of building our church in Newton Abbey, the early stages of that building, we did a lot of work ourselves, the men and the congregation. We got together, we were there practically every day and every night building. And of course every man brought their tools with them. And we left them there around the shell of the building, knowing that when we go back the next morning they would still be there. And then we got to the stage in the building when we had to bring in outside contractors. Well, that changed everything. We brought in the outside contractors, never thinking, we still left our tools in the partially completed building where we always had left them. And after a few days, whenever the outside contractors were finished, they stole a lot of the tools that were left there by the men out of the church. For months we had worked there and left our tools on the floor of the partially completed building, and we knew they'd be there the next morning, because all the men that were working were out of the church, they were all Christians. Once we brought the outside contractors in, made up of ungodly men, they were ready to steal whatever they could find. And whenever they left, took quite a few tools with them, didn't belong to them. They stole. They broke the 8th commandment. That's not how Paul wanted to live. Hebrews 13, verse 18, Paul said, "Pray for us. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." Paul asked the believers to pray for him and those who were laboring with him. "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." Paul wanted to deal with God and with men with a clear conscience. And in all his dealings with God and all his dealings with men, he would have a clear conscience, knowing that he hadn't done anything wrong or hadn't taken something that didn't belong to him. So the transgressing of God's law is sin. Regarding the 8th commandment, there's not only sin, but there is also the scope. Thou shalt not steal. Now there are many ways in which this commandment is broken. One of the commentators said, and I quote, "There are various forms of the breach of this commandment. The essence of dishonesty is the possessing ourselves of that which rightfully belongs to another. This may be done in an almost infinite variety of ways." That's right. Dishonesty is the possessing ourselves of that which rightfully belongs to another. This may be done in an almost infinite variety of ways. God says, "Thou shalt not steal." We could hardly draw up a list of the ways that individuals steal today. That's what the commentator said. An almost infinite variety of ways of stealing. Stealing from our fellow man and stealing from God. But we should know that God condemns stealing no matter what form it comes in. It is sin, no matter what form stealing comes in. Perhaps we could use a few words from Paul, the epistle to the Romans. You turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. And there we read in Romans 13, verses 7 and 8. Render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. See the first part of the verse 7? That would relate to paying our taxes. And we know how in the world today men will do whatever they can to cheat the government. Well, we don't like paying taxes, but it's the law of the land. And whatever the law is, we're to respect that law. And here Paul says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything. Those words in verse 8, owe no man anything, refer to unpaid debts. Let's say you get a loan, but you don't pay back the loan. Owe no man anything. Paul's saying you're stealing. Now that does not mean, because I know years ago I remember was asked to go and hear a particular preacher, and this was something he really labored. No Christian should owe anything. That's not what that verse means. People have to get a loan from the bank to buy a house, or maybe purchase a car or whatever. But what Paul is saying here is when you get a loan and you don't pay it, owe no man anything. You're to pay back what you owe. If you don't, you're stealing. If you don't, you've broken the 8th commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Taking money from others that does not belong to us. We read in Psalm 37, verse 21. There the psalmist says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Just as Paul said, owe no man anything. So the commandment, thou shalt not steal, is the keeping or the taking of that which does not belong to us. So we have seen to break the commandment is sin. We've seen something of the scope. As that commentator said, you could not list the ways of stealing. So the sin, you have the scope regarding stealing, and then you have the seriousness. thou shalt not steal. If that commandment is broken, it is serious. Because we're breaking God's law. But there is a way in which this commandment is broken that perhaps some do not think of. And it is a way that is indeed most serious. Turn please to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. Sorry, Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, my commandments, my laws, my statutes. Ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, he's addressing Israel, wherein shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. This is God speaking. God is speaking. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Will a man steal from God? Yet ye have stolen from me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And so the charge has been put to Israel. Ye have robbed me. And Israel respond, well, wherein have we robbed thee? God answers, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Ye have stolen from me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. So you can see the purpose for tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, God's house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Will a man steal from God? Yet God says, ye have stolen from me. And then Israel said, well, wherein have we stolen? How have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You have kept your tithes and offerings from me. Then God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Tithes, what is a tithe? Well, the word means a tenth. So we are to give God, this is his command, we are to give God a tenth of all that he hath blessed us with. Because remember, everything we have has come from the gracious hand of God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the God of heaven, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Everything comes from God. And yet God says, you've robbed me. How have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Notice, it says tithes and offerings. So we give to God our tithe, our tenth, and then we give him our offering. But it is certainly stipulated by God himself that we are to give to God a tenth of all that we have. And then give to him our offering. Remember what we said, or what Paul said at the beginning of our message? We're to be careful. We're to be aware of how we deal with men and how we deal with God. We're to think beforehand. Am I doing right? What I give to God, is that what God has asked? Is that what God has commanded? Wherein have we robbed thee? God said, in tithes and offerings. To fail to bring our tithes and offerings to God's house is to steal from God. We're to bring in our tithes and offerings, as Malachi 3:10 tells us. But you'll notice, the tithes and the offerings are brought into the Lord's storehouse to support the work of God. You know, when you think of it, the tithes and the offerings are brought in, placed on the basket there every Sabbath day, to help pay the bills of the church, the expenses, week by week. That's what the Lord has said. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith. Now the Lord says, if you do as I command, if you bring the tithes and your offerings into my house, I will bless you. That's what God said. Prove me, I will prove you. Or prove me. Herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God, I've said so often, God is no man's debtor. Like I said before, the gentleman was saved round about the same time as myself, and we became good friends. And I remember him, we ended up working together in the same factory. I remember him talking one day about tithing. And he says, you know, he says, I just shovel it out to the Lord. And he shovels it back to me. He says, the only difference is the Lord has a bigger shovel. And I thought that was a good way of putting it. We give to the Lord. The Lord will give to us. He'll open to us the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive. You know what that means? That means we'll be saying to the Lord, stop, that's enough. I can't take any more. We read in 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Of course, every farmer will know that, all right. Every gardener will know that. You don't put bulbs in, you don't put flowers in, well, you're not going to get any flowers in springtime. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Mark the words. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Dr. Paisley always emphasized the meaning of that word cheerful. He says that word cheerful means hilarious. It means hilarious. In other words, we give to the Lord with a smile on our face. The Lord himself has said, Luke 6 and verse 38, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The thought there is filling a sack with grain. And you fill it up, and then you give it a good shake, and you get a bit more in, and you shake it again until it's running over. That's how the Lord gives to us. And we're faithful in our giving to him. Thou shalt not steal. We've considered then the rejecting of the commandment. Those who have gone out and stole it. And then we considered the reasons for breaking the commandment. All right. God says, thou shalt not steal. But why do people steal? We might ask, why do people break this commandment? Why do they steal? We can, of course, give many reasons. But here's a few suggestions. First of all, they steal because of covetousness. We see that this commandment is very closely related to verse 17, the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Why do people steal? They covet something that doesn't belong to them. It belongs to somebody else. Individuals will covet something, and so they must have it. They're not prepared to pay for it, and so they'll steal it. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. Verse 20. We're all familiar with Achan. Joshua 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. He acknowledged his sin because he was found out. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, or I coveted them and stole them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Achan was found out. Notice the connection. Verse 21, I saw, then I coveted, then I took or I stole. He coveted something that wasn't his. And there was sin in the camp of Israel because of Achan, his covetousness and his stealing. The psalmist has something to say about covetousness. Psalm 10 verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. God abhors covetousness. And we know the covetousness, as we have seen, leads to stealing. There's the covetousness, there's the craving. I say this based upon what Paul told Timothy. Remember, we're dealing with reasons why man will break this commandment. Covetousness and having a craving. I say, if they base that upon the words of Paul to Timothy, for, listen, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That's quite a wide sweeping statement. Those words are often misquoted. They're often misquoted. They're often quoted as money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The Bible says the love of money, that's it. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, see there's again, coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So isn't it the love of money that leads people to steal, pilfer and rob and cheat? Yes, this love of money is the root of all evil. And what evil and what wicked acts have been committed by people who have a love of money. It's the root of all evil. Judas was prepared to betray the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he had a love of money. He loved money. He met with the Pharisees and the enemies of Christ, and they struck a bargain, and he was prepared to betray Christ for what? 30 miserable pieces of silver. And when did that happen? We're told in Luke 22 and verse 3, it happened after Satan had entered into Judas. And so there is the root of all evil, and it's rooted in Satan. No wonder Paul referred to this love of money as the root of all evil. You hear the news all the time of what people are prepared to do for a few dollars. Prepared to kill for a few dollars. It's the root of all evil. As well as one of the reasons being covetousness and craving, having a love of money. Another reason why people steal is because of a lack of contentment. Isn't that why people steal? Because they're not content with what they have. Or because they don't want to work. So they live a life of stealing from other people. But the person who knows Christ is able to say with Paul, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned. Whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. And mind you, the same Paul didn't have very much. I often think of him there lying in prison. Short time he'd be led out to die for the cause of Christ. He sent his second letter to Timothy, appealing for him, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Appealing to him to come to him before winter. He doesn't have very many friends. Let me read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 13. He says to Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. He didn't even have a coat to put over his shoulders. Bring with thee. And the books. He didn't have any books to read. And he appeals to Timothy, when you're coming, bring that cloak and bring some books for me to read. But especially the parchment, so that I can write letters. He didn't have much, did he? And yet Paul says, I have learned, whatever state I find myself, therewith to be content. But people steal because they're not content. Paul was able to give instruction to the Hebrew believers, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, be content with such things as ye have. And people steal because they're not content with such things that they have. We have considered then the rejecting of the commandment, the reasons for breaking the commandment, finally, the readiness to obey the commandment. Among the people of God, there ought always to be a great desire and a readiness to obey God's commands. Psalm 119, verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And in being ready to obey the commandment, first of all, it's a sign of honesty. Of course, we would expect the Christian to be honest in all of his or her dealings with God and with men. That ought to be the sign of a Christian. They're honest. That the ungodly can look upon us, say whatever they want about us, but it's good whenever they can admit, well, I don't like this and I don't like that about him, but I know he's honest. That's a good testimony for a Christian to have. Romans 13, verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. And the apostle had words of wisdom for Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. Honesty and godliness go hand in hand. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And Ephesians 4 verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That's what happens when Christ comes into a life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let him that stole, steal no more. In the 1940s and 50s, Reverend W.P. Nicholson, great evangelist, man mightily used of God, held a gospel campaign in the Ulster Hall in Belfast. The Belfast shipyard was about 2 miles away from the Ulster Hall. At all the meetings, the shipyard workers, whenever it was quitting time, they would all walk to the Ulster Hall. The Ulster Hall seated about 2,000. Building still there today. They would all walk in their overalls and dungarees, and their blackened faces, and they'd all walk to the Ulster Hall. Sat under Nicholson's preaching. He preached with great power. Many of those shipyard workers were saved. Do you know what happened? Those shipyard workers that got saved under Nicholson's preaching, they would go home. And they would gather up all the tools they had stolen from the shipyard. And they brought all those stolen items back to the shipyard. They've got saved now. Let him that stole, steal no more. And they brought all those stolen items back to the shipyard. And they had stolen so much. Do you know? They had to build a shed at the shipyard to accommodate all the stuff that the shipyard workers had stolen. And that shed was called Nicholson's Shed, and the shed's still there today. They called it Nicholson's Shed because all the men that got saved under Nicholson's preaching, they were new creatures. And they brought all their stolen items back again. They put things right. They put things right. What a testimony that is. It's a mark of honesty. Finally, it's a mark of holiness. Obeying the commands. The believer who strives after holiness of life will never be a thief, neither of God nor of man. Didn't Paul exhort the Corinthian believers? He said, to live a life in all godliness or holiness, godliness and honesty. We'll read then, and with this I'll close. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That is, they were alienated, they were made enemies of God, but they've been reconciled, brought to Christ. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. There's the testimony of the Christian. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's what it is. To be a believer, thou shalt not steal. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, come before Thee. We pray, our Father, that we might live that life that Paul spoke about there to the church at Colossae. The Lord will live a life that's unreprovable. We'll walk in this world in all godliness and honesty. That all the commandments, Lord, will be a delight to us. We'll just love to obey the Lord. Do it for Him, because we love Him. Lord, be with us now throughout this day. Write this word upon our hearts. Use it, Lord, to Thy glory. Watch over us this day, and be pleased, Lord, to return us again to the service this evening. Spend time again around the word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.